Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please listen each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Word. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You also find Bible videos there, 30 minutes in length on different subjects, and also a host of other Bible-related material that can aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Come with an open mind, an open Bible, and study God's Word with us and worship Him, and hope to see the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son who died for your sin. This morning, we continue our discussion of 2 Peter chapter 3. Last week, we looked at the first two verses. Today, we will begin examining verses 3 through 7. Let us begin this morning by reading our text, 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 3. For you are still carnal, for where there are envies, strifes. 2 Peter 3, I'll begin reading in verse number 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Now, in our text today, it begins that there are going to be scoffers that's going to laugh concerning the truth of the validity of the second coming of Christ. Peter understood that he and his readers were living in the last days. We can read that earlier by Peter's own words in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. The period of time is between the Lord's first and his second coming, but for very two different reasons. Knowing this first means above all, foremost in their importance. And so there's some things that they need to keep focused in their mind. There will be scoffers. The scoffers are false teachers who deny Jesus Christ, and they deny his return. Jesus has said these heretics would come. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3, Matthew 24 and verse number 3, Jesus even warned about this while he was here on earth. In discussing the destruction of Jerusalem, he says, and Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And so even in Jesus' day, there would be those who would seek to try to lead others away from the truth. We can also see this in 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1, where Paul would write, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. We also see in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that this theme again is referred to about in verse 1. Know this, that in the last day perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, Paul and Peter are in agreement that there are going to be false brethren. There's going to be false brethren and teachers who are going to scoff concerning the second coming of Christ. Peter echoes the warning, adding that their scoffing is accompanied by their own lust. That means by their own evil desires. This word is also used in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 4, in which you have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is evil desire, things that are contrary to God's will. Arrogance, snobbery, and disdain for the ideal of the coming judgment would lead to sexual perversion. Now, in verse number 4, they give a stinging question. They ask, where is the promise of his coming? You see, they're mocking the second coming of Christ by asking a stinging question. Where is the coming that he promised? See, they rejected this promise so often that it's been repeated in the scriptures. Let me just read you a couple statements where Jesus promised that he was going to return. The one most notable is in John 14, verse 1 through 3. In John 14, in a private conversation with his disciples, we read, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." We can also read in Acts chapter 1 at the ascension of Jesus in verse 11, the angels told those gazing into the clouds that this same Jesus whom you've seen leave this way will return in like manner. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23, "But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 14, "Even as also," excuse me, "you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you are also ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 13, "So that ye may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our Lord, our God and Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." We read also in chapter 4, verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord." Over and over, the Bible says very clearly that he is coming back. This rests on the principle of uniformitarianism. And what that means is that there is an agreement. There is an agreement between the prophets, the apostles, and the prophets of old that there is going to be a second coming. This is the view that the cosmic processes of the present and the future can be understood solely on the basis how the cosmos has operated in the past. There is also an accepted Bunning Denism which rules out divine intervention in the universal order. In a universe governed by natural laws, miracles, mockers argue this simply cannot happen. Therefore, they say Jesus could not come again because it's impossible, and that they are scoffers. The scoffers want to push their argument as far as possible, so they refer to our fathers. That means the fathers of the Old Testament patriarchs and to the beginning of creation. Still, since nothing has happened in all this time, the mockers reason, why should we expect the Lord to return? It's been thousands of years. He promised to come again, and he has not come. And so everything continues as from the beginning of creation. But again, they're wrong about that. They are misinformed about that, and they misrepresent that because it hasn't happened yet, that means that it won't happen. Now, I want to address this for a minute in the few moments we've got left, and we'll pick this up next week in verse number 5. Because something doesn't happen in a certain period of time does not necessarily mean that it won't happen. You and I must remember that God has a timetable. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it tells us that the coming of the Lord is only known by His Father. It's not even known by the Lord Himself. Only the Father knows when He will bring time to an end. And so because something hasn't happened right away, doesn't mean that it will not happen. Now, I'll give you an example. Men lull themselves to sleep because they commit sin and there's no outward happening right at the moment. That means nothing happens right away. And so since nothing happens to them, they feel secure that they got away with it. It doesn't work that way. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, it says that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We're going to give an account of what we've done. Just because there's not an immediate consequence does not mean that we got away with it. And it does not mean because something has not happened in the time that we think it ought to have happened, that means that it won't happen. Again, we need to understand time is not on our side. Time is on the side of God. God is the one that controls the clock. God is the one that will bring time to an end. He created time. He brought this world into existence. He spoke it into existence. He'll bring it to a close, and He'll do it in His time. And so men are lulling themselves to sleep by thinking that because everything began, it's continued as it was from the beginning, and as we will point out next week, they're wrong about that. But here's how men conclude. Well, the sun came up today, sun will come up tomorrow. There are many people who are in their graves today who never intended to be there as quick as they thought they would. There are people, men and women, and we know this by our own experience, that were here one day and gone the next, that planned to do many things, but they never got to because their life ended suddenly. And that's exactly how time is going to end. It's going to end suddenly when God determines it. And all the scoffers can laugh, they can marginalize, they can ridicule, but the fact remains, the Lord promised to come, and the Bible says in Hebrews 6:18 that God cannot lie. If God cannot lie, the Lord is coming again. And what that should mean to you and me is that we need to be ready for that day, that we don't get caught unprepared. We need to prepare.